God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But to those who reject the light, Proverbs 4:19 speaks, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. While researching information for God Said, Man Said, I came across an archaeological discovery, a foot lamp. The lamp was extended over the path in front of the traveler so that the individual forced to travel in the dark of night could navigate without damage. The Word of God is the lamp of the soul. To the carnal mockers of this life, Christians have been ridiculed as those who have seen the light, and though they meant it to belittle us, it is a glorious truth. Matthew 4:16-17, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have you seen the light? John 1:4-9 speaks of Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Are you ready to step out of your prison's darkness? Are you ready to be born again, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Would you like to have all your sin and shame expunged from your record? Would you like to begin the journey of eternal life? Today is the day of your salvation. Click on to Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Do it now. Now for today's subject. God said, Leviticus 11:7-8, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. God said, Genesis 11:4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God said, Psalms 91:7-10, a thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God said, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man said, we don't need to be encumbered by the restrictions laid out in the Bible. We'll follow our own path. Now the record. A special note to the born again. The Bible's prohibition regarding the eating of clean and unclean foods is satisfied as outlined in 1 Timothy 4:4-5. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But be advised that true word-walking Christians, we estimate, make up less than 2% of the world's general population. The world's general population has no protection from the plagues hidden in the supper plate. The biological benefits of observing God's dietary laws and sanitary ways are just enormous. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 575. These features are archived on this site in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for coming. May the face of our God shine upon you with light and truth. In the scientific community, a new understanding of deadly pandemics is developing, and as you should expect, when they arrive at the truth, they will discover God's word is already there. God's pandemic-destroying commandments are regularly published on God Said, Man Said, and updates as presented in this feature are aired to once again demonstrate that new conclusions from the academic community are shouting yes to the inerrancy of the Word of God, words authored by God thousands of years ago. As the born again, we are required to place all of our faith in the Word of God, and understanding that all His words are true and righteous altogether is imperative. This feature will once again certify that our childlike faith is not misplaced. A few foundational paragraphs follow from the first two features. This short series will make it abundantly clear why there is suffering and evil in the earth and who is responsible for it. If you have not read or listened to the first feature in this series, The Legal Mechanism and Pandemics, do not proceed with this feature. Click onto the link now and then return. We'll wait for you here. The proof of all proofs is in the result of the doing, and this short series will make this very clear. The argument goes like this. If there is a God and He is good, why all the suffering and evil? God is good, God is love, and He has prepared and is preparing beautiful things for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But to those who reject His words, He promises doom. Jesus said, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These words from Mark chapter 16 show the goodness and severity of God. By man's standards, these words are intolerant. But then, that is the very nature of truth. God's word is truth, and anything contrary is not truth, no matter how well-intentioned. 2 + 2 = 4 and 3.9 just won't do. Those who reject God's truth suffer the consequence of disobedience, which is simply the result of doing the wrong thing. God's word is like an automobile's owner's manual. All the directions for a successful journey have been laid down. Those who follow the instructions will have a good trip. End of quote. God does not do magic. All His works are established in wisdom and knowledge. He is the truth. Those who disregard His directives do it at their own peril. The March 2012 issue of Discover published a feature dealing with global pandemics. A sentence reads, each human pandemic exists because social conditions have allowed it to evolve. Social conditions mean societal habits, things which the community does at large. God's commandments are designed to control social habits. Discover weighed in with the following concerning government fears of avian flu and what actually followed. Government agencies urged people to stockpile water and peanut butter and tuna fish in preparation for what Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, told the press would be 3 years of a given hell. I can't think of any other risk, terrorism or Mother Nature included, that could potentially pose any greater risk to society than this. We never got 3 years of hell, but we did get a new pandemic influenza. While experts were fixated on birds in Asia, this strain came from pigs in Mexico. Packing pigs into cramped quarters produces another kind of disease factory. In the winter of 2009, people living near a giant industrial pig farm in La Gloria, Mexico, reportedly became ill with a severe respiratory virus. No one except local reporters and a few health officials paid attention. Then the virus began to spread. By the time the supposed index case, a 5-year-old La Gloria child named Edgar Hernandez, was identified, the so-called swine flu had been transmitted widely across Mexico. Within days, it landed across the border, and in just weeks, it spread across the world. Pigs and people, both mammals, pass flu back and forth quite easily. A pig is more like a person than a chicken when it comes to temperature and cell receptors. Pigs were always more likely to produce a pandemic flu than chickens, but most people weren't looking. End of quote. Pigs and pandemics are close companions, and of course, the Creator of life knew it and warned against it, Leviticus 11:7-8 again, and the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Carnal men reject the words of God. He has a better way. Consider several of the findings concerning pigs and pandemics published on God Said, Man Said. How can a man with his science finally just discover the wisdom of God as given in his holy word from the beginning of time while still discounting its credibility? The following excerpt is from an article written in 2008 in Discover titled Superbugs in the Fridge. Never mind E. coli in your spinach or botulism in your canned beans. There could be an antibiotic-resistant superbug in your fridge. Until recently, scientists believed that the dangerous bacterium, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or known as MRSA, thrived primarily in hospitals. But MRSA was recently found for the first time in live pigs in North America, confirming suspicions that it had entered the food chain. In Canada, a country that provides 80% of the United States pork imports, a strain of MRSA was found in a sample of pigs and their farmers. 1/4 of 285 pigs studied were infected, according to a report in Veterinary and Microbiology, with a 20% rate of transmission to the pig farmers. Since people cooking will kill MRSA just as it does E. coli, risk of food poisoning by Staphylococcus aureus are low for those who eat well-done pork. However, the USDA has found that foodborne outbreaks have occurred due to contamination by food handlers who spread bacteria from pork products to other people. Proper handling and more sanitary living conditions for pigs can minimize such risks, the USDA reports, end of quote. Now consider this update to the MRSA pandemic. The following excerpts are lifted from the April 2009 issue of Scientific American under the title, Healthy Growth for U.S. Farms. Much has been made in recent years of MRSA, the antibiotic-resistant strain of Staphylococcus bacteria, and for good reason. In 2005, the most recent year for which figures are available, about 95,000 MRSA infections caused the deaths of nearly 19,000 Americans. The disease first incubated in hospitals. The killer bacterium is an evolutionary response to the widespread use of antibiotics, but has since found a home in locker rooms, prisons, child care centers. Now the bacteria has spread to the farm. Perhaps we should not be surprised. Modern factory farms keep so many animals in such a small space that the animals must be given low doses of antibiotics to shield them from the fetid conditions. The drug-resistant bacteria that emerge have now entered our food supply. The first study to investigate farm-bred MRSA in the U.S., amazingly, the Food and Drug Administration, has shown little interest in testing the nation's livestock for this disease, recently found that 49% of pigs and 45% of pig workers in the survey harbored the bacteria. Unfortunately, these infections can spread. According to a report published in Emerging Infectious Diseases, MRSA from animals is now thought to be responsible for more than 20% of all human MRSA cases in the Netherlands. End of quote. The final bits of information are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Swine, the Other White Meat Updated. God calls the swine unclean. In the Old Testament, an unclean person was one who had touched the dead, had a running issue or oozing sore, or was or came into contact with a menstruating woman, etc. The term uncleanness means one is in a contagious situation. Those contaminated were quarantined. The swine is called unclean, which means it is contagious and will bring harm to those who eat its flesh or touch its carcass. Dr. David Macht of Johns Hopkins University reported on the toxicity levels of the flesh of animals and seagoing creatures. In Dr. Macht's research, all unclean, listed in God's scriptures, creatures measured toxic, with the pig ranking extremely toxic, about the same level as the rat and groundhog. In regard to the human body's metabolism, it is ill-equipped to handle unclean meats. Unclean meats digest in only 3 hours, while the clean meats that God commanded us to eat digest in up to 18 hours. In a 1988 report, E.A. Widmer, Ph.D., professor and program director of Environmental Health, School of Public Health, Loma Linda University, had this to say in the following excerpt. Pork consumption is now associated with coronary heart disease, cancer, and certain communicable diseases. Pigs are noteworthy as hosts for the intestinal trichina roundworm, Trichinella spirealis, which causes the disease trichinosis, a disease with symptoms that doctors often attribute to intestinal flu, pneumonia, or rheumatism. A more complete list of symptoms of the trichinosis infection were listed by the Division of Parasitic Diseases, National Center of Infectious Diseases, and they are nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, fatigue, fever, and abdominal discomfort are the first symptoms of trichinosis. Headaches, fevers, chills, cough, eye swelling, aching joints, muscle pains, itchy skin, and diarrhea or constipation follow the first symptoms. If the infection is heavy, patients may exercise difficulty coordinating movements and have heart and breathing problems. In severe cases, death can occur. Additionally, Dr. Widmer had this to say about pork tapeworms. Tapeworms are just another problem that eating pork poses. The adult pork tapeworm can reach a length of 10 feet and can live for several decades in the small intestine. If infection is widespread, it can simulate a brain tumor, epilepsy, or other neurological or psychiatric disorder. People become infected with the adult tapeworm by eating undercooked pork infected with bladder worms. Pork is also implicated in breast cancer, prostate cancer, and the cancer of the colon. H. Fred Trout, VMD, PhD, and Julie Funk, DVM, conducted research in order to estimate the prevalence of swine herds infected with pathogenic Yersinia enterocolitica. And the remainder of this feature, we refer to it as Yi. They reported. Yi is a foodborne pathogen estimated to cause annually 3,000 to 20,000 cases of human disease in the United States. The most prevalent clinical signs in human beings, children are the most frequently affected, are abdominal pain and fever, diarrhea and nausea. Vomiting may also occur. The disease can range in severity from self-limiting gastroenteritis to potentially fatal septicemia. Trout and Funk estimated 103 lots and 3,375 individual pigs for carriage of Yi. Of these, 92.2% were found to contain pigs carrying Yi. Finally, they reported, the results support the hypothesis that pigs are a significant potential reservoir for human infections by Yi. Another curse man has reaped because of his disregard for God's word is an infection of the intestinal tract, and less commonly the bloodstream, called Campylobacteriosis, herein after referred to as C. If the number of cases of C reported by the New York City Department of Health in 1998 is consistent by percent of population across America, nearly a quarter of a million people are infected by it. C is generally spread by eating or drinking contaminated water or food, especially undercooked poultry or pork, or by contact with infected animals. Common symptoms of C are mild or severe diarrhea. Traces of blood may be found in the stool. Other symptoms include fever, abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting. The pig likes to scavenge and eats just about anything, such as rotting carcasses, dead insects, worms, garbage, and dung, including its own and that of other pigs. It's an unclean animal, and input produces output. Input rotting carcasses and dung, output pork chops made of rotting carcasses and dung, end of quote. The biblical prohibitions in the Old Testament against unclean foods are considerable. Avoiding these foods is critical to the unsaved and makes good biological sense for everyone. Consider Dr. Rothschild's explanation of the toxic effects of what the Bible calls unclean foods. Do not consume any meat of scavenger animals comprising pork, all shellfish varieties, skinfish, which are scaleless fish, scavenger birds, snakes, and most reptiles. The reason for this biblical prohibition is dual. The first consists in that the meat of such animals is about 10 times more perishable, difficult to preserve, than that of the allowed animals. Frequently, people do not realize a piece of meat is already poisonously spoiled until they perceive the toxic symptoms and have already ingested it. The second reason consists in the scary fact that the byproducts that originate from digesting such scavenger meats are highly poisonous. We're referring specifically to the so-called death enzymes, such as cadaverin and putrescine. These death enzymes are extraordinarily useful in nature. Without their assistance, no flesh would revert to dust. They are extremely useful to break down a corpse, but terribly inconvenient in a living human body, end of quote. God said don't, man said do. Who is responsible for all the suffering and evil? God said, Leviticus 11:7-8, and the swine. Though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. God said, Genesis 11:4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God said, Psalms 91:7-10, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God said, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man said, we don't need to be encumbered by the restrictions laid out in the Bible. We'll follow our own path. Now you have the record.